Couldn't be much worse than now. Welcome to another episode of This Goose Is Cooked, where we review books intended for our future generations. Today's book, If I Were President, by Catherine Steer, illustrated by Diane DeSalvo Ryan, published by Albert Whitman and Company. If I Were President joins a group of children as they fantasize about all the perks of being president and the ramifications it would have on their family. Will these children be good presidents loved by all, or will they be Manchurian candidates? Well, get ready to exercise your constitutional right and vote. Grab your books if you got them, and let's get cooking. We begin touching briefly on our protagonist's campaign. Quote,
"It would be great to be president of the United States. If I were president, that means after a big campaign with speeches and posters and TV ads, the people would have chosen me as their leader. Years of planning and hard work would have prepared me for that day."
End quote. If that doesn't brush over it, I don't know what does. She casually leaves out all the trashing of her opponent, the commercials calling each other traitors, and the October surprise insinuating that she's a sexual predator. Not to mention those years of money laundering and fixing her tax forms to make her look like a hard-working, middle-class American who hasn't taken money from every billionaire out there. Oh, and did I forget about her fake spouse and well-behaved children? Yep, it's not nearly as glamorous as she makes it out to be. It's downright filthy. We now watch as the girl, who can't be more than 12, gets sworn into office and gives her word that she'll uphold the Constitution. Well, she's already not upholding her oath, because she's far too young to hold the office. But we won't get hung up on that. What's the first thing that comes to this girl's mind after getting sworn in, you ask? No, it's not tax cuts or freeing those who have been wrongly convicted. Nope, she thinks only about herself and the big mansion she gets to move into. Pulling the old Fresh Prince. I pulled up to a house about 7:08. Okay, so now she takes on U.S. hunger and homelessness, right? Nope. She watches a movie in the White House movie theater, but then off to dealing with Iran? Wrong again. She takes advantage of the White House bowling alleys. She's really living it up. It's a 10-year-old's dream birthday party every day. And what the hell does she care? She's locked into this job for 4 years. Alright, now to the crisis on the border. Sorry. She's eating ice cream instead. I guess this is what you get for electing an 80-year-old man with dementia. Sorry, I mean, a preteen child. What's the difference? They both still have bedtimes. Here we go. Finally, she gets to work.
Wait a minute.
The president is a 10-year-old boy now, dressed up like a cross between Tucker Carlson and Uncle Sam. Must be an inclusivity thing with this book, trying to let everyone relate. Though, I don't get why the girl got to have all the fun, and this guy gets dumped on. I digress. Early in the morning, but not too early, he's gotta let the insurer settle. We can see him in the Oval Office, just writing one-word answers on documents of yes or no. And his trusty dog is even holding up documents, giving him advice. Boy, is this country in real trouble. Then again, it could be worse. He could have the Easter Bunny telling him when to talk. At least he's honest and admits most of his decisions haven't been very good. And he lets us know he's not really running the show. It's his cabinet. No, not his armoire. The people he put in his administration. And something tells me, if this boy was in charge of the hiring process,
these people can't be the best and brightest. But still, he's transparent. I'll give him that. And this boy is quite the hard worker. He's out doing town halls now, just getting berated for his predecessor's first days in office, when she ignored the people of East Palestine and went on quite the playdate, just bike riding through the town. This boy has quite some energy. He goes marching past the military now. Quote, if I were president, I'd be in charge of the armed forces, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. End quote. This boy's even more confused than I thought. He forgot the most important one. The Space Force, you dummy. Don't let this guy pull us out of Afghanistan. I'd hate to see what that looks like. The boy makes it all the way through his speech at the State of the Union, which is quite the feat these days. And then he's like, peace, I'm out. And another little girl takes his place. And what does she do? She immediately brags about creating new laws. Ugh, we don't need new laws. We need less. Sorry, you're not accomplishing anything when you tell people you can't buy a gas stove. Just leave us alone. It's the land of the free, not the land of totalitarian control. If you want that, go to Canada. How accurate is this? As she's creating these new laws, she's shaking hands with old-ass men who look minutes away from the grave. Yeah, now that's spot on. But now this girl gets bored with all the work rather quickly and goes straight to the amusement park, just wasting taxpayer dollars. And she brags about all the agents they have to pay to keep her safe. Why am I so upset at this? This is normal. At least she keeps her shirt on. The current president just practices life in the coffin on the beach. This girl brags some more about getting her own limo and plane. And then we see her bowing to who I'm going to assume are Chinese officials. Ugh, could she disgrace the office anymore? The president don't bow to no one, biznatch. Well, unless you're Obama bowing to the Saudis. But hey, we need their oil real bad. The girl shows us her softer side by discussing helping out families who have been struck by natural disasters, and then using this opportunity as another excuse to launder money to her buddies. A new kid takes over, because with how corrupt this administration is, they don't last long. And it's a boy throwing out the first pitch of a baseball game right into the third row of the bleachers. And he brags to us about all the ceremonies he goes to and being in many different magazines. Talk about self-absorbed. Quote, even my dog would make headlines. End quote. Boy, if that ain't the truth. Is this Joe Biden talking? Because I don't know who bites more people. His dog Commander, or him? This boy continues to only think about himself, bragging about how everyone would flock to go see where he grew up, storming his house and harassing his mother to show off the digs. He gives no thought to the negative effects his running for president will have on his family. Nope, he's just like,
sorry, Mom. Looks like you're gonna have to move to the nursing home early.
Talk about callous. The boy opines on only being allowed to serve 2 terms as president, and then starts thinking about his plans after the presidency. Working with lobbyists, opening a charity, making movies, writing books, and making bullshit speeches at college graduations. Needless to say, he's gonna be rich. The story makes one last switch to a little girl, and she must have been real bad, because we can see her handing over the keys to another lady. That just might be Kamala. In her dreams. Well, this girl fantasizes about being the 5th head on Mount Rushmore. Doesn't she realize that's reserved for Donald Trump? And she thinks her face is going to be on money. The old Sacagawea. What's with these kids and vanity?
They're really letting us know their true colors. Just like every politician out there, they could give two shits about this country. And that's where this one ends. On the money. 'Cause fame and fortune are all these kids care about. Just stick to TikTok, would ya? And that brings us to our moral. It's every politician out there could give two shits about this country. They only care about themselves. Yep, most politicians are assholes. We all know that. Which is why it's not about finding one that's not an asshole. It's about finding an asshole who doesn't go after your freedoms, and instead goes after the government industrial complex. What do I think of Catherine's work? Well, I do enjoy books on civics that attempt to make it fun. And this one certainly did. But she seemed to miss the gravitas around the position and the importance of the office. Her focus on only the fame and the perks of the office completely undercut the presidency altogether. But I gotta say, maybe at times she was a little too accurate with the ice cream and the vacations. And that made it all the more frustrating. As for Diane's pictures, they looked straight out of a textbook and didn't capture the eye or keep my attention at all. So dull. Like a Biden speech where he forgets where he is halfway through the sentence. Well, if you're thinking about running for office for all the wrong reasons, curl up with this one. It'll give you some ideas. On a scale from 1 to 5, I'm giving this book a 1.9. I'm turning my nose up at it and then sneaking a bite out of pure curiosity, but then quickly realizing that was a mistake that'll sit with me for 4 years. This goose is cooked. Join us next time for another in-depth book review.